Chapter 1. The Dragon Wakes. The Dragon Wakes. The last light of the day turned the Firetown Square to gold, and April stepped into it, carrying the dragon staff across both paws. 6 dark wicks, 3 at each end, sat quiet on the polished wood. They looked like sleeping things. 4 friends waited. Mango, the fruit bat, hung upside down from a lantern post, wings half spread, already leaning in. Fern, the tree frog, crouched low on a mossy barrel, golden eyes wide, fingers pressed flat against the wood. Riddle, the parrot, perched on the signpost, with her head tilted left, curiosity tilt, beak open before the question had arrived. And Dusty, the wombat, sat square on the cobblestones, paws on his knees, solid as the ground beneath him.
You asked to learn, so I'll teach you the fire and the frame. The fire and the frame.
The way you sing a thing before you know what it weighs. April set the staff on 2 low rests. From her apron pocket, she drew a stick of chalk, white, fat, well used, and knelt on the cobblestones. She drew a circle. It was wide enough for 1 spinner and the arc of a staff. She stood inside it, brushed the chalk dust from her paws, and looked at them.
Step inside the perimeter line. The circle is yours and yours alone. The circle is yours and yours alone. No one enters once spinning starts. The perimeter holds the space. You hold the fire. Understood?
4 nods. She stepped out of the circle and faced them again.
Now, who is your safety?
Silence. Riddle's head tilted right. Skepticism tilt.
Your safety is a person. Not a rule. Not a word. A person with eyes.
She looked at Dusty. Dusty looked back.
Before you light a single wick, you find your safety's eyes. They nod. You nod. That's where it starts. Find your safety, eye to eye. No nod, no flame, no spin, no sky. No nod, no flame, no spin, no sky.
Mango shouted it first, a half beat ahead of the others, her wings snapping open with the joy of it.
Why the eyes? Why not just say you're ready?
April's mouth curved.
Because your mouth can say ready when your hands aren't. Your eyes don't lie as fast.
Riddle tapped her thinking stone with her beak, twice. Then she nodded. Mango dropped from the lantern post, caught herself mid-air, and landed on the barrel beside Fern.
April, why does the towel always go on the left side of the safety?
April's paw went to the left pocket of her teaching apron. 2 fingers, pressing the faded scorch mark there. Small, tea brown, shaped like a curling leaf. She held the touch for 1 breath.
Because that's where the dragon looks first.
Mango opened her mouth to ask more, but April had already lifted the staff from its rests. She raised it overhead with both paws, and the 6 dark wicks caught the last copper light of the sun. For a moment they looked almost alive.
Tomorrow we learn what the safety knows, and why every dragon needs friends on its toes. Friends on its toes.
Mango loud, Fern soft, Riddle precise, Dusty steady. And the sound rose into the warm air above the chalked circle where no fire burned yet, but would. Chapter 2. The Frame Takes Shape. The frame takes shape. The practice yard smelled of wet chalk and morning. April knelt beside a low table. The unlit dragon staff stretched across it like a sleeping thing. 6 dark wick knots, 3 at each end, caught the early light. She had already drawn yesterday's chalk circle fresh on the cobblestones, and now she unfolded a damp cream-colored cloth and draped it over her left paw.
Yesterday we learned 2 steps, perimeter, eye contact with your safety.
She lifted the towel-wrapped paw.
Today, the smother.
Fern crouched low on a mossy barrel, golden eyes wide. Riddle perched on the table's edge, head already tilting. Mango hung from a beam overhead, 1 wing stretched toward the staff, and Dusty stood behind April, solid as the cobblestones, holding a 2nd damp towel at full arm's length, as far from his body as his thick arms allowed. April noticed. She didn't say anything yet. Instead, she pressed the cloth against the staff's nearest wick knot and held it there.
Fire needs air. Take away the air, the fire goes out. That's what smother means. Not hitting, not waving, pressing close and holding still.
She wrapped the cloth tighter, showing the fold. 1 layer, 2 layers, snug against the wick.
But why does the towel go on the left?
Riddle's beak was already open, one wing raised. April touched the scorch mark on her apron pocket, two fingers, light, the way you touch something you've stopped seeing, and answered,
Your safety stands where the dragon looks first. The left is the side where the bright ones have burst.
Riddle's head tilted right, skeptical, but she tucked the answer away.
Now, and before you ever pick up a lit prop, you check yourself.
April's paws left the staff and moved to her own body, collar, sleeves, apron ties, pockets. Every seam, every loose edge, traced and tucked.
Anything that can catch, you find it now, not after.
The friends mimicked her. Fern ran her long fingers down her own arms with quiet precision. Riddle checked her wing feathers, muttering. Mango swooped down from the beam and patted herself so fast her paws blurred.
Done.
Already reaching for the staff.
Slower.
Just the word. Mango slowed, a little. April looked at Dusty. He still held his towel at arm's length, shoulders high, eyes wide and careful.
Dusty, the smother only works close.
He looked at the cloth. He looked at April's paw, wrapped snug against the wick. His dark eyes moved between the two, then slowly he drew the towel in. Not all the way to his chest, but closer. His arms bent, his breath stayed even.
Good.
She stood and lifted the staff overhead.
Let's sing what we know.
And they did, all four voices with hers, louder and faster than yesterday, the circle of their bodies loose and bright around the chalk perimeter.
Draw the line and step inside. Find your safety, eye to eye. Smother close and hold it tight. Check your seams before the light.
The fire in the frame.
Mango shouted at the end, wings spread.
The fire and the frame.
They heard the fire. They sang the frame. They didn't know yet which word was heavier. April set the staff down and brushed chalk from her knees.
Tomorrow we learn to close the fuel and spin off.
She paused, and her voice dropped to the register the friends would later learn to listen for.
Two more steps, and the song is near done, but the hardest to learn is the easiest one.
Chapter 3, Cypher's River. Cypher's River. The fuel can was small and brass, with a cap that screwed tight. April set it on the practice yard table next to the unlit dragon staff and waited until all four friends were watching. Then she unscrewed the cap, tipped the can, and let a thin stream of fuel soak into one dark wick knot at the staff's end. The smell was sharp and bright, like lamp oil and lightning mixed together. She screwed the cap back on.
That's the step. You fuel your prop, then you close the fuel. Every time.
Riddle's head tilted left.
But why not leave it open until all six wicks are...
Because open fuel near fire is the most common disaster you can prevent. You fuel one end, you close the can. You fuel the other end, you close the can again. The cap goes on between every pour.
She held the closed can up so they could see the seal. Dusty nodded once.
Close the fuel.
Close the fuel.
Then she set the can down and stepped into the chalk circle. She held the staff upright, both paws wrapped around its center, and stood very still.
Before you spin, before you even think about fire, you breathe.
She inhaled, slow through the nose, and the friends could almost see it. A ring of warm air rising from her mouth when she exhaled, soft as lantern glow, widening as it climbed.
Three in, four out.
She breathed again. The ring rose again.
Three in and four out. Let the count fill your chest. The breath is the door and the stillness is rest.
Mango sang it back before the last word had landed, fast, bright, already bouncing on her branch. Fern murmured it a beat later, precise and soft. Riddle opened her beak to ask why four and not five, then closed it and breathed instead. Dusty just breathed. They ran the whole refrain, six steps now, called and answered.
Perimeter drawn and the circle is clear. Eye contact found with your safety right here. Close the fuel tight, every cap, every pour. Spin off the excess or start slow. Nothing more. Three in and four out. Let the count fill your chest. The breath is the door and the stillness is rest.
Six voices. The yard rang with it. Afterward, they sat under the fig tree, the staff across April's lap, and Mango asked the question she'd been holding since yesterday.
Who taught you?
April's paw drifted to the scorch mark on her apron pocket. Her eyes went somewhere far away.
His name was Cipher, an old tiger. He spun poi, twin wicks on chains, not a staff, but the ritual was the same.
She smiled barely.
He spun like the river. He laughed like the rain.
She stopped. The second line didn't come. The air under the fig tree held its shape, waiting for a rhyme that April kept behind her teeth. Mango leaned forward, wings half spread.
He laughed like the rain and he taught you the flame?
April looked at Mango. Something moved behind her eyes, gratitude maybe, or a gentle sadness that the gap had been filled so quickly. She touched the scorch mark once more and let her paw fall. Fern's hand found her own arm and rested there, quiet. Riddle tilted her head right, skepticism this time, but said nothing. Dusty was still as stone.
One step left, tomorrow.
She lifted the staff so its wicks caught the last copper light slanting through the fig leaves. The last step, the quick step, the step before flight, the step that stands guard at the edge of the light. Chapter 4. Fern Finds Her Feet. Fern finds her feet. Fern's toes gripped the chalk line like it was a riverbank in a flood. April had drawn the perimeter fresh that morning, a wide white circle on the practice yard dust. Mango stood inside it, the unlit dragon staff balanced across her wing hooks, swaying it in a slow arc, the way April had shown her. Riddle perched on a fence post just outside the circle, head tilted. Dusty sat cross-legged on the cobblestones, steady as a stone. And Fern stood at the circle's edge, assigned as safety, and did not move.
Your safety is a person, not a place, not a post, a person who follows the arc.
Fern's golden eyes tracked the staff, her feet stayed planted. Mango swung the staff wider. The dark wick knots at each end traced a slow figure in the air, three on one side, three on the other, six unlit mouths yawning through their arc. Fern watched. She watched perfectly. But watching from one spot is not the same as following, and when the staff swept left, Fern's eyes went with it, but her body stayed behind.
Fern, if she were lit right now and the staff kicked, could you reach her from where you're standing?
Fern looked down at her own feet. They were pale green against the chalk, wide toe pads pressed flat, as if the ground might move without her permission.
No.
So, what do your feet need to do?
A pause. Fern touched her own forearm, her comfort gesture, fingers reading her own skin.
Follow.
April nodded once and sang the call.
Eye contact first, then follow the spin. Your feet trace the circle the fire moves in.
Fern's response came late, half a beat behind, but it came and her right foot lifted off the chalk for the first time. She stepped. It was a small step, a tree frog's careful placement, toes spread wide, testing the ground before committing weight. Mango swung the staff again, and Fern stepped again, tracking the arc, her body turning with the motion instead of against it. Step, step, step. Her wet feet left prints on the dusty ground, pale crescents, evenly spaced, curving in a ring that mirrored the perimeter from the outside.
But why outside the circle?
Because the perimeter holds, the safety follows from beyond it, close enough to reach, far enough to see.
Fern stepped again and again. The prints behind her drew a perfect arc, proof her body was learning what her mind already knew. Her golden eyes never left Mango's wrists. By the third pass, her response landed on the beat.
I watch. I step. I track the arc. My feet will find her in the dark.
April's smile reached her eyes. They ran the six-step refrain together, perimeter, eye contact, close the fuel, spin off, call the body part, smother. And this time Fern's voice on the safety line was low, steady, and exactly on time. Mango racked the staff across her wing hooks and grinned down from inside the circle.
Your footprints look like a moon.
Then, bouncing on her toes,
tomorrow's the spin-off drill, right? I'll spin so fast the stars will stare.
April touched the scorch mark on her apron pocket, two fingers, quick, unconscious, and said nothing. Chapter 5. Riddle Counts the Why. Riddle Counts the Why. Before the others arrived, April stood alone in the practice yard. Her teaching bag lay open on the low table. She reached inside, past the chalk and wicking cord, and pressed her paw against a small patch sewn into the lining. Amber felt, cut in the shape of a flame, tiny stitched letters in a looping hand. She held her paw there for 3 breaths, then she closed the bag and turned to greet her friends. Riddle was already perched on the unlit dragon staff, where it rested between its 2 Y-shaped posts, her head tilted left.
But why do we count before we spin?
April set her paws on her hips.
Good morning to you too, Riddle.
Good morning, but why?
Mango dropped from the fig tree, wings flaring.
Because April said so. Can we start?
Riddle said.
That's not a why.
She tapped her thinking stone against her beak. Click, click. April lifted 1 paw.
Breathe in, 2, 3, 4. Breathe out, 2, 3, 4. The count comes before the fire does, and the body learns what the mind waits for.
Fern breathed with her. Dusty breathed with her. Mango bounced through it, close enough. Riddle opened her beak.
But what does counting actually...
The response line sailed past without her. April called again.
Breathe in, 2, 3, 4.
Fern and Dusty echoed. Mango was already on 5. Riddle's beak was still open, shaping a question that had no place to land.
Riddle, don't think about why. Just count.
But if I don't know why, how do I know it matters?
April smiled, half a smile, the kind that almost explains but doesn't quite.
The fire and the frame. You keep asking about the fire. The count is the frame.
Riddle tilted her head right, skepticism.
What does the frame even mean?
Count with me and find out.
She called the count a 3rd time. This time she held Riddle's copper orange eyes and breathed. Slow, deliberate, 4 beats in, 4 beats out. Pale gold rings of breath drifted upward from April's mouth in the cool morning air, widening, fading. Riddle watched the rings rise, her chest moved. In, 2, 3, 4. Out, 2, 3, 4. And on the exhale, something shifted. Her wings settled. Her lifted foot lowered to the staff. The question in her throat dissolved, not answered, but replaced. The count filled the space where the question had been. Her response landed exactly on the beat.
I count 2, 3, 4, I breathe, and now I'm sure.
Fern's golden eyes went wide. Dusty nodded once, solid as stone. Riddle blinked.
Oh, the why is in the counting.
Yes.
They ran it again. And again. Each time Riddle's response arrived, not because she had stopped questioning, but because the rhythm of counting had become the rhythm of understanding. 4 beats that grounded her body before her mind could race ahead. The practice yard filled with breath rings, pale and luminous, rising from 5 mouths in unison. When they finished, Riddle turned on her perch to face Dusty, who sat solid as a boulder at the circle's edge, the damp towel folded on the stump to his left.
The count is the answer. The count is the key. Now show us the towel, brave Dusty. Show me.
Dusty looked at the towel. He looked at the staff. His paws gripped his knees.
Tomorrow.
Chapter 6. Dusty Holds Close. Dusty holds close. Dusty's paws were perfect. That was the problem. He held the towel folded in thirds, exactly the way April showed him. He stood at 2 spin widths, close enough to catch, far enough to breathe. He said every word right, every time, his low voice landing on the beat like a stone dropping into still water. But his arms were straight out, locked. The towel hung as far from his body as his bones would allow, and his weight tilted back on his heels, shoulders pulling away from the place where the flame would be. April watched. She didn't say anything yet. Mango swung the unlit staff in a slow overhead arc. Fern tracked from the circle's edge, her wet footprints curving on the cobblestones. Riddle perched on the signpost, counting under her breath. April called,
"Your safety is a person, not a place. Hold close enough to see the spinner's face."
Dusty answered right on time.
"I hold, I watch, I stay."
His voice was steady, his arms were a mile away.
"Dusty."
Not a correction, a question shaped like a name. He looked at her. His small dark eyes were calm, but his paws gripped the towel so hard his knuckles had gone pale beneath the tawny fur.
You're leaning back.
I know.
That was all. He knew. He'd known all afternoon. Knowing wasn't the problem. Fern hopped down from the barrel. She didn't say much. She never did. But she crossed the circle and stood next to Dusty, her wide toe pads printing damp crescents on the stone.
Watch.
She lifted her hands to chest height, palms forward, elbows soft. Then she stepped, one small frog step, toward the staff's arc, toward where the heat would be.
Closer is safer, April taught me. If you're far, you have to lunge. If you're close, you just unfold.
She mimed it, arms opening from the chest outward, the way you'd open a book. Not reaching, offering. Dusty watched her hands. Then he pulled the towel in. Not all the way. His shoulders were still tight, his jaw still set. But the towel came to his chest, and his elbows bent, and his weight shifted forward onto the balls of his feet. Mango swung the staff again. The unlit wicks passed through the space where Dusty's hands could reach them now. Close, real, possible. His eyes tracked the arc. His breath was steady. His fear was still there. You could see it in the set of his heavy brow, the way his fingers pressed white into the damp cloth. But his hands were close, and close was what mattered. April nodded once. Around the practice yard, the first lanterns were being lit. Real firelight caught Dusty's face, warm and orange against his tawny fur, and he didn't flinch. From the branch overhead, Mango hung by her feet, wings half spread, the staff balanced across her open paws.
Tomorrow's mine. Spin off. The last step. The spin.
Her brass ankle bell jingled. Her eyes were electric. April touched the scorch mark on her apron pocket and said nothing. Chapter 7. Mango's Bright Bow. Mango's Bright Bow. The brass bell on Mango's ankle sang before she did. She dropped from the crossbeam, caught the unlit dragon staff mid-fall, and landed inside the chalk circle with her wings already spreading. The six dark wicks fanned out like fingers reaching for something only she could see.
Spin off.
Spin off, the step between fueling and fire. Three sharp shakes to fling the excess away so nothing drips, nothing slings, nothing catches where it shouldn't. April sang it clean.
Spin off the excess, shake it free, three flicks out, then the fire can be.
Mango's answer came before the call had fully landed.
Three flicks out and the fuel flies wide. Nothing drips and the dragon can ride.
Her paws blurred. One, two, three. The staff snapped through the air so fast the wicks whistled. Then she added something no one had taught her. A long sweeping arc that curved the staff behind her back and over her head, tracing a shape like a dragon unfurling its wings. Fern's golden eyes went wide. Riddle's beak dropped open.
Huh.
Again.
Mango spun off again. One, two, three flourish. Faster, cleaner, the dragon wing shape tighter. The unlit wicks cut the evening air in perfect symmetry.
Now all of it, from the top, everyone.
The full rehearsal, every step in order, for the first time. Mango stepped to the circle's chalk edge. Fern took her spotter's position, feet already moving in the slow tracking arc she'd earned. Dusty held the wet towel close against his chest, close, not far. Riddle perched on the fence post, breathing in for three and out for four, pale rings of breath drifting upward in the cooling air. April watched from two paces back. Perimeter. Mango stepped inside the chalk line. Eye contact with your safety. She found Dusty's small dark eyes. He nodded. Close the fuel. Fern mimed capping the tin and setting it outside the circle. Spin off. One, two, three. The dragon wing flourish, the wicks carved silence. Every step landed, every response rang. The practice yard hummed with the sound of a ritual that sounded, to four bright voices under string lights, like mastery. Mango swept the staff into one last dragon wing arc and bowed, wings spread wide, the unlit wicks catching the lamplight like dark jewels. Fern clapped her small hands, Riddle whistled a two-note cheer. Dusty thumped his tail once on the cobblestones, which was the same as a standing ovation. At the circle's edge, April clapped too. Her paw came to rest on the scorch mark on her left apron pocket. Her smile was proud and warm and did not quite reach her eyes. Mango hung upside down from the crossbeam, the staff balanced across her toes, grinning at the stars.
The steps are all sung and the dragon is ready. Tomorrow we light it. My paws will be steady.
The string light swayed. The chalk circle glowed white against the darkening ground. And somewhere inside April's teaching bag, a small flame-shaped patch held words that nobody had read yet. Tomorrow there would be fire. Chapter 8. The Silent Echo. The Silent Echo. Lanterns everywhere. The festival fire town blazed with them, strung between rooftops, floating in barrels of water, tucked into the crooks of old trees, so that the whole square seemed to breathe warm gold. At the center, the chalk circle waited. The friends stood at its edge, voices ringing through the warm air, chanting the ritual they had practiced all week. April called each step and they answered, confident, bright, their words landing together like hands clapping in time. Perimeter drawn, Mango stepped inside the circle, the dragon staff balanced across her wings, six dark wicks waiting. April found Dusty's eyes across the circle. He nodded, her safety. Fern tracked from the right, Riddle perched at the far edge, still as stone. April uncapped the fuel. She tilted the can, soaking each wick until the cloth drank deep. Then she sealed the cap and set the can outside the circle.
Close the fuel.
And here is where the silence lived. Mango's mouth did not open. No response came. Her wings were already spreading, her body already tilting toward the spin, because the dragon wing pattern was singing in her muscles, and the fuel can was behind her, and the step felt like a door she had already walked through. She had not closed the fuel. April struck the match. The wicks caught. Six flames opened like bright petals, and Mango swept the staff into its first arc, Loss gorgeous, trailing fire through the dark. Then a spark jumped. It landed on the open fuel can. A ribbon of flame climbed the air where it should not have been. It licked sideways, caught the grass, and kissed Mango's wrist where her wing met her paw. Mango froze. Four bodies moved.
Arm!
Three heartbeats. One, two, three. Mango's free wing beat at her wrist, but the flame held.
Arm!
Fern was already stepping in from the right, reading the wobble in Mango's locked shoulder. Riddle's beak opened across the circle. Not a question, not a why, just the steady count.
One, two, three, four.
Breath rings rose from her beak, pale silver, the only calm thing in the square. Mango dropped. She lay flat on the cobblestones, wings spread, the staff clattering beside her. Dusty was there, close, not at arm's length, not flinching. He pressed the wet towel over her wrist with both wide paws and held it. The fire went out. It went out because Dusty took away the air. That is what smother means. You cover the flame, you hold close. You press the cloth against your friend's skin, and you stay until the heat has nowhere left to breathe. The fire does not lose. It simply has no air, and so it stops. April was already beside them, paws moving in a pattern the friends had never seen. Low and fast, closing the fuel can with one motion, kicking the staff's lit wicks into the dirt with the sole of her foot. Her body doing what it had learned long before she ever held a dragon staff. The scorch mark on her apron pocket caught the lantern light. No one was hurt. Mango lay on the cobblestones, wings folded so tight they almost disappeared. Her enormous amber eyes were open, wet, unblinking. The square was quiet, the lantern swayed. Somewhere a festival drum kept playing, not knowing it should stop. And where Mango's voice should have answered, where the response should have come, bright and fast and sure, there was only the space where the words had not been. The step she skipped was the step that spoke. Chapter 9. The Patch Unsewn. The Patch Unsewn. Smoke curled from the six wicks like question marks nobody wanted to answer. The dragon staff lay across the center of their circle, still ticking with heat. Five bodies sat close on the cobblestones, closer than they had sat all week. No one spoke. A lantern across the square guttered and steadied. Mango's wings were folded so tight they almost disappeared. She spoke first.
I didn't close the fuel.
Her voice was low, stripped of every exclamation mark.
I knew the step. I've sung it back 100 times. But my hands were already reaching for the spin, and my mouth said the words and my hands didn't.
She looked at the staffs smoking wicks.
My mouth knew it. My hands forgot.
Silence, then Fern, quiet as rain on moss.
I almost froze.
She touched her own forearm.
When I was learning to spot, I thought standing still was enough. April had to teach me that watching isn't following.
I delayed.
No question in her voice for once.
The breath count. I kept asking why instead of breathing. If the count had mattered that night the way the fuel mattered tonight.
She tapped her thinking stone once against her beak and stopped. Dusty spoke last, one word at a time, like stones laid in a wall.
I held the towel too far, for weeks, because I was afraid of the heat.
He looked at his own wide paws.
Fear made the distance. Fern taught me to close it.
The circle held. April had not moved. Her paw rested on the scorch mark on her apron pocket, the old soft-edged burn she had never explained. Now her fingers traveled from the pocket to her teaching bag. She opened it and drew out a small shape, a thumbnail-sized patch of amber felt cut like a teardrop flame. She held it in her open palm so they could all see the tiny stitched letters. The step you skip is the step that speaks.
His name was Cipher. He was a tiger. He taught me on poi, twin wicks on chains, not a staff, but the ritual was the same.
Her voice was steady, the way a candle is steady in a room with no wind.
He'd say...
And here she paused, the way Cipher always paused, giving the moment its weight.
Perimeter first. Eye contact. Close the fuel.
Short sentences, strong nouns. He never explained why on the first telling. He let the body learn before the head could ask.
She turned the patch over in her paw.
I was good, quick, praised. One night I skipped closing the fuel because I knew I'd already done it, except I hadn't. A spark found the open can. A ribbon of flame caught Cipher's vest.
Fern's golden eyes went wide.
Nobody was hurt. The vest was only singed. Cipher smothered it himself, pressed the fabric flat with his big paw, took away the air, and the fire went out. The way fire always goes out when you take away the air.
She looked at Dusty. He looked back. Something passed between them that neither named.
I felt the distance between knowing a thing and remembering a thing, and I built the ritual I wished I'd carried in my hands, not just my mouth.
She set the patch on the cobblestones beside the smoking staff.
He gave me this when I became a teacher. I've kept it inside my bag where only I could read it.
She almost smiled.
That was wrong. It belongs where everyone can see.
Mango leaned forward. Her wingtip touched the patch, light as breath.
Can we sew it onto the towel?
Her voice was new, not fast, not bright, but deliberate and warm.
So it's there, every time.
April nodded. Riddle tilted her head, left, then right, then still.
The fire in the frame, you've been saying it all week. The fire is the dragon. The frame is...
The ritual, the perimeter, the eye contact, closing the fuel, the steps that hold the fire safe. The frame doesn't burn. The frame is what you build so the fire has a place to live.
The lanterns glowed soft and low around them. Smoke from the wicks had thinned to almost nothing. Mango held the flame patch in both paws now, reading the stitched words again, her enormous amber eyes wet and unblinking. Fern's hand found Dusty's wide paw, Riddle's wing settled on Mango's shoulder. The circle was tight, the circle was whole. And in the morning, they would build the frame again. Chapter 10, The Reversed Chorus. The Reversed Chorus. Morning came clean and bright, the way mornings do after hard nights. The chalk circle was still there on the cobblestones. Fern had redrawn it at first light, her wet footprints tracing the old line, making it new. The dragon staff lay across two Y-posts, re-wicked, the six dark knots waiting. No one rushed. Dusty held the fuel can while Mango dipped the wicks. When the last wick was soaked, Mango reached across and closed the fuel can herself. Click, she looked at Dusty. Dusty nodded. The can went into the stone box, lid down. Riddle spoke from her perch on the signpost.
I'll call the perimeter.
She didn't ask why. She just called it.
Step inside the circle's rim. No one else comes past the brim.
Fern answered, already moving, her toe pads finding the chalk edge.
I stand outside, I track, I stay. My feet will follow all the way.
Dusty called the next step himself, his low voice landing like a stone set in mortar.
Eye contact with your safety. Find my eyes before the flame.
Mango looked at him. Dusty looked back. He nodded. The nod was slow, and it meant everything. Fern called to Riddle.
Close the fuel and shut it tight. No open mouth beside the light.
Riddle sang back, clear as a bell with no question mark at the end.
Closed and boxed and put away. The fuel sleeps while the wicks play.
Then silence, because the next step was Mango's. She stood inside the circle, the staff balanced across her open wings. She breathed, and three pale gold rings rose from her mouth, slow, widening, fading. The breath count she had learned from Riddle, the stillness she had learned from the silence. When she spoke, her voice was half a register lower than it had ever been. Each word placed with space around it.
Spin off the excess, spin it slow. Let the drip fall where no flame can go.
The line landed where the blank had been. The friends heard it fill the space. Mango lifted the staff. April, standing just outside the circle with her arms folded, struck the match and offered the flame to the first wick. Mango spun off, three slow rotations, excess fuel flicking away from her body, away from the circle's edge, onto bare stone. Then she began. The dragon staff traced its wing pattern through the morning air. Six wicks, three on each end, drawing arcs of clean fire, not wild, not cautious, steady. Fern's feet moved with the staff's rhythm, tracking. Dusty held the towel close against his chest and sewn onto its damp fabric in small, careful stitches. Riddle's precise work from an hour before dawn were the words from the flame patch. The step you skip is the step that speaks. Visible to everyone now. Riddle counted the breath from her perch, copper eyes bright, no questions left that the doing couldn't answer. The spin ended the way a spin should end. Mango looked at Dusty. Dusty nodded. She approached. He took the wicks in the towel and smothered them, pressed the damp cloth close, held it, felt the heat leave. The fire went out because he took away the air. The circle held. Then the four friends turned to April, and together they called,
"The dragon staff has six bright wicks, and fire is not for careless tricks."
April unfolded her arms. Her paw found the old scorch mark on her apron pocket, touched it once, gently, the way you touch a scar you finally stopped hiding. She answered,
"I hear you, friends. I hear you true. The frame is yours. The fire is too."
The morning light caught Mango's wings, Fern's steady feet, Riddle's lifted crest, Dusty's wide paws still holding the towel close. And April, just outside the circle, her eyes full, her voice no longer the only one carrying the song. The ritual had always been a circle. Now it was drawn by their bodies, visible and whole.